how the Lord teaches us to get things done. How the Lord teaches us to get things done. And so if you look at Genesis chapter 1, such a simple message this morning, I fear we might lose the importance of it. But what a better place to start at a new year than in the beginning. I think you'd agree with me that life is full of the need to get things done. For example, just think of all the things that had to happen for you to get to church this morning. You had to get up. For some people, that's a challenge, amen. Some people stayed up too late last night, and they're probably going to be dragging in this morning. Some will blow off church completely because they didn't plan properly to either go to bed, or if you're going to stay up late, you just plan on biting the bullet the next morning and just getting up, no matter how much it hurts. But you had to get up this morning. You had to hopefully take a shower, either sometime the last 7 or 8 days you took a shower. And so you had to get yourself cleaned up a little bit. You had to put on clothing. You had to get a bite to eat. You had to get your stuff together. You had to get in the vehicle. You had to get here in church. If you have any type of ministries today, you had to prepare for ministries. Some people preparing for a nursing home or Sunday school teachers preparing for their lessons in Sunday school. I had to prepare for a Sunday school this morning, church in just a little while, a vision night tonight. There's a lot of things that we have to do. And the truth is our lives are spent trying to get things done. Would you agree with that? Think about tomorrow. Already tomorrow you've got things weighing on you, things that have to get done. You've got to go to work. Now, work is its own set of things to do. What do you have to do at work tomorrow? You have to get there on time. You have things you got to do. Some of you are going to drive vehicles when you get there. Some of you are going to be planning jobs and pounding nails, and others are doing paperwork type things and running businesses and some working with your hands. But take the average job and think about how many hundreds of things every day that you and I have to get done to call ourselves productive. Now, can we just be honest? In our day and age today, it's overwhelming. It's overwhelming with all the things that we need to do. Do you ever get lost? You ever just kind of look at your to-do list and say, I don't know. There's no way I'm going to get all this done. So part of the importance or part of the way we get things done is identifying the most important things to do first. Amen? So there's things that I needed to do this morning, but there's also things that could wait. For example, this morning I got up and looked over my lesson for now, and 10 o'clock, I didn't focus a lot on what I need to do tonight. I'm doing that this afternoon. What if I had taken the last couple days and focused everything on what I had to do tonight, and then I got here this morning, it's like, whoa, oops. And sometimes we do that in life, don't we? Sometimes we focus on the wrong things. We're doing things that don't matter as much, or they're not as urgent, as important as the thing that comes up on us. You know, there's so many distractions in our world. How many times do we get stuck? You know, you can get stuck online nowadays and just lose an hour that fast. I mean, you just lose an hour. Lose a couple hours a day just online, social media, television, whatever. There's a whole new problem nowadays with the rise of social media and smartphones. It's interesting. I was reading an article about business, and it says that they don't really know how many minutes a day that employers are losing by their employees being on the internet doing personal things or social media on their phones. Get this. One of the best estimates is that the average employee spends almost 2 hours a day either completely focused on personal things on the internet or their phone, or at least distracted from the work they're supposed to be doing because of those things. Think about that. The average employee spends over 2 hours a day during the workday, during the 8 hours that they're supposed to be working, either not doing their work or distracted from their work by social media or the internet. Now, that's a pretty big deal. It came out a few years ago that a certain, I think it was 18 to 35-year-olds, some of a certain demographic spent an average of 28 hours a week playing video games. That's almost another full-time job. Well, I don't have time. Is it that we really don't have time? Or is it that we're not getting the right things done? And so we have to look at every day, not to say that there's not time to play, not to say that there's not time for recreation. We ought to have time with our families. We ought to have time, a little bit of downtime every day. You have to have time to rest your mind and your body. But at the same time, we have to also get things done. Now, we're talking about getting things done at work. Now, wait a minute. When you get done from work, you go home, and what do you have to do? You got more stuff to do. I don't know anybody in this room that's got a butler. I wish I did. Walk in the door, knock. Hello, Mr. Chapman. So happy to have you home. Thank you, Jeeves. Are my pajamas warm? You know, I just have them. Well, what do you do? You know, just having. I don't have a cook that has meals prepared. We don't have cleaners that clean the house. The truth is, we get up in the morning, we have stuff to do. We go to work, we have stuff to do. We come home from work, and there's more stuff to do. And so it can be overwhelming. And so we have to learn how to get things done and fight the distractions of the world. Now, let me just say that I think it's a good idea to work first and then play. Excuse me. Work first and then play. We tell our kids that. Work and then play. School and then play. Do your work first and then play. Not play and then try to fit your work in, but work and then play. But I think that we also have to have that family time and the relaxation time. So on this idea of how to get things done, how can we be more efficient? How can we be better? You know, I see some of the college kids that are here and they're getting ready to go back to school. Aren't you excited? Aren't you excited about school starting again? And I remember walking into class in the first week of class. I remember going to college, and I walk in my 8 o'clock Monday morning class, and here's the class, and I'm excited about it, and here's your outside work. And they give you a bunch of stuff to do, not in class, outside of class. Then the next class, and your outside work. The next class, your outside work. So I remember going to college. I'm in class so many hours a day, plus I'm working so many hours a day, plus I need to sleep so many hours a day. That's usually a good thing. Plus I had to read like 14,000 books during the semester and write 100 different essays and papers and all these kinds of things. And sometimes it's almost, my entire life, it seems, is looking at my workload and saying, how in the world is this supposed to happen? And that's the way life is going to be. So rather than complain about it, let's try to get our minds wrapped around this thing and say, how can we do this? And honestly, in school, it took me a couple of years to kind of get down into a rhythm and figure things out. And the same thing in a new job. You know, let's say that you start a new job. There's a learning curve. You change a shift. There's a learning curve, how that affects your family. You have a new baby. There's a learning curve, how this is going to affect our family. All these different things. And so let's look and see how God teaches us to get things done. So Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. Let's go ahead and look at it. Genesis 1, 1. And you follow along as I read. Boy, I love these verses. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness, and God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. Verse 6, and God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made a firmament, made the firmament, and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. And God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. Verse 9, and God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together in one place, and so let the dry land appear, and it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called he seas, and God saw that it was good. I think you'd have to admit that God has a pretty impressive resume about getting stuff done. He started with nothing and created everything that we see around us. Now, the verses we read, we see a very practical way that we can break down our lives and just start to get things done. And so if you give me a hearing, I think that some of this isn't going to be new. Some of it might, the biblical context might be new. The biblical foundation might be new. But let's all try to receive a little instruction today and just see what we can take with us and help to get things done, the right things done in our lives. Let me say, number one, in order to get things done, God teaches us we need to have a vision. We need to have a vision. So God had something that he wanted to do. He wanted to create the heavens and the earth. Now, let me ask you, in your life, what is it that you want to do? It's so vital that you have a, not just an idea of what you want to do, but I mean a really specific idea of what you want to do. You know, if you don't have a goal, then you're going to have a hard time living life. The truth is, life's probably going to live you. If you don't have a direction you're going, then how are you going to know when you get there? If you don't know where you're going, how are you going to know when you get there? You know, the first thing that you do when you get out in the ocean is you find a heading and you start heading that heading. I've enjoyed taking a couple flight lessons and being up in the air. And one of the first things you do is you find a heading. What heading am I going to? Well, let's head out to 345, heading 345. So we're going to go over this way, and we're going to start heading that direction. We're going to stay on heading 345 until we get to a certain spot. Then we're going to take heading 040, and then we're going to go this way. And so having a direction where you go is so vital in life. And I ask you, where are you going in life? What are you trying to accomplish? You need to have a big picture vision. What do you want your life to look like? What kind of life do you want to have? For example, I want to serve the Lord with my life. I want to please the Lord. I don't know where I'm going to be in 20 years if God tarries, but I know I want to be in God's will. So that gives me a big picture. Whatever happens, I know that that's the direction I'm going. That's the general direction I'm going. I don't want to go to the world because that's not where I want to end up. I don't want to run off a cliff and ruin my life serving the flesh. That's not where I want to end up, so I don't go that direction. I want to serve God with my life. And so we begin to have a bearing. We begin to have a direction. We begin to have a vision for what our life is supposed to be. But then you break that vision down into little things. What do you want your family to be? Married couples, what do you want your marriage to look like at the end of this year? Let me guarantee you something. If you don't invest in your marriage this year, you'll be worse off this time next year than you are right now. You got to invest in it. You got to pay into it. You have to do some things for it. Where do we want our children to be, parents? Kids do not raise themselves. A child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. We can't leave kids to themselves. We got to have a vision. Where do we want our kids to be? What do we want our kids? Why want my kids to make a lot of money? I think that's the wrong goal. I want my kids to marry somebody rich. I think that's the wrong goal. I want my kids to serve the Lord. I don't care what in the world they do. I want them to serve the Lord, be in God's will. I want them to have character. So that means I'm going to have to put character into them. I want them to be honest. So that means I'm going to have to teach them honesty. I want them to be hard workers. So that means I'm going to have to teach them how to work hard. And so you see how this works. I get a vision, so then I know what I want to accomplish. What do you want to do at work? I think that each one of you ought to seek in the Lord's will to go as far as you can in your chosen profession. I think it's a great idea for you to make the most amount of money as you can in your profession for the time that you invest. I think that's a great idea. I want you to succeed. I want you to excel. But how are we going to do that? We've got to have a vision. And so it's so interesting here. The Lord began with a vision. He wanted to create the heaven and the earth. What do you want your personal walk with God to look like? Then we figure out how to make that happen. What do you want your physical health to look like? Listen, I know I'm not the poster child for health. Amen. I'm probably the poster child for obesity or whatever, poster child for lack of health. But listen, your physical health is important. My physical health is important. And so we have to learn to take that seriously. And the truth is, most people don't take it seriously until they have to. And so we want to learn to build into our lives, I want to be healthy. I want to keep a sharp mind. I want to have a strong body so as I get older, I can keep investing in the Lord's work, keep investing in my family and my children and the world around me. And so we have to have a vision. We see verse number one, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And so I think it's a good idea to write down your vision. Write it down. Put it somewhere. Take any area of your life if you want and say, here's what I'm thinking. Here's what I would like to do. Here's where I would like to be. Here's what I would like my life to look like. And then you write it down. There's something powerful about just writing something down where you can have a reference and go back and look at it. And then let me say, after vision, we see in verse number one, we see action. We see action. You have to do something. You have to start doing something. You have to start working the plan. And so we have two kinds of people. We have some people that all they do is think about doing and planning and visualizing, but they never do anything. They never get started. They never go anywhere. They never finish a job. Then we have some people that they're always doing and doing, doing, but they're never going anywhere because they don't know what they're trying to accomplish. And so there's a big difference between busy work and getting the right things done. What happens when you take a vision and you mix that with action? Now I can know where I'm going. I know what I'm trying to accomplish. Then I begin working towards that goal. And so I want to take baby steps towards the goal. We see action. I look here at verse number one again. In the beginning, God created. God created. So there had to be a starting place. Notice the beginning. If you're going to do something, you need to set a time and do it. Set a time and do it. Now, what you'll find is you can tell a lot by a person's life by looking at their schedule and their budget. Because the truth is, people schedule and budget the most important things in life to them. Now, if you don't schedule the things of God, it's probably because they're not all that important to you. If you don't budget your giving to the Lord, it's probably because it's not a very big priority. Look at your schedule, look at your budget and say, does my schedule and budget right now, is that moving me towards the goal I want to be at? Or am I treading water and I'm not making any movement towards that goal? And so we see in the beginning, there has to be a starting place. God created. There has to be a verb. There has to be an action verb. We have to do something. Let's say we want to get in shape. Well, that means we probably need to do some exercise. We want to get in shape. That means we probably need to change the way we eat. We want to get in shape. That means we probably ought to be a little bit more structured and intentional about our bedtime. What time do we get up? What time do we go to bed? Those types of things. Let's say I want to increase my walk with the Lord. So that probably means that I need to have a set time that I'm going to read my Bible. I need to have a set time that I'm going to pray. I need to have a set time. Listen, when I create a schedule, and sometimes we may do this later, I may give you out some of the schedules we hand out, but a lot of counseling we do, and we call it counseling, really it's discipleship. Someone comes to you with a problem and you begin teaching them what God says about that specific issue. Call it counseling, call it discipleship, but it's really discipleship. Let's teach you how God thinks about this and how to obey the Lord in this area. But I have a schedule that I pass out. It's got every hour of the week on it, every day. and you can begin blocking out your schedule. Most people don't even, we kind of have an idea about what our week's going to look like, but we never really sit down and look at it. That's why we lose big chunks of time. We lose big hours of time. Probably one of the greatest excuses of mankind is, I don't have time. Would you agree with that? I don't have time. Now, there are times and seasons of life when you can be as structured and as scheduled as you want, and the demands on your life are extreme. I've been there. Absolutely been there. But there's also times where we're kind of living lazily. We're just kind of living a lazy life, not really paying attention. We go to work, we eat, we go to bed, we have a little fun time here. And we're not structured, and we can lose a lot of time. And so in that, but going back to that budget, that schedule, in that schedule, one of the first things I do is we block out every church service. Matter of fact, on the schedule that I pass out, even if they're barely coming to church Sunday morning, every church service is already blocked out. Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night is already blocked out. Why? Because you're in for a fool's errand if you're going to try to have God help you get a hold of your life, but you're not making time for Him. Hey, God's not worked 3 or 4 hours a week. God gives us 168 hours this week, and He's not worth four of them. God help us. We wonder why we're failing. We wonder why our life's falling apart. Like, I got to come back to church. You'll sit down and watch two movies, and it'll be more than 4 hours. Binge watch a season of whatever, and you'll put in, I know people put in 10 hours a week binge watching junk, but they can't come to church 4 hours a week. And God help us. And so we have to get intentional about this thing. So on the schedule, I block it out, and there's also a soul winning blocked out. And they may choose not to do this, but what am I doing? I am saying, let's start the foundation where it belongs. Let's build our lives upon the Lord. Make sure we're going to church. Make sure we're walking with the Lord. Obviously, your time that you're going to go to work is blocked out. And going to work may be the most time-intensive thing that you do this week, but it's not the most important thing. You might work 60 hours a week this week, and praise God, we got some hard workers, and I'm all for it. And by the way, get there early, be on time, do your job while you're there. I'm for all that stuff. But working is not the most important thing that you're going to do this week. Probably the most important things are the things that aren't even on your schedule. How would you feel about work if 6 months from now your wife hates you, can't stand to look at you, in the middle of a divorce? How important is work then? But watch this. You have work scheduled this week. Do you have a date night with your wife scheduled? We're together all the time. She doesn't see it that way. And he doesn't see it that way. Dennis knows all about marriage. He's got this thing figured out. And so I'm not getting on to you today. I'm just kind of trying to shake us a little bit, myself included, and saying, we got to wake up. If we want to get things done and get the right things done, we've got to have a vision, and then we have to begin taking steps to fulfill the vision in every area of life. Your kids are probably the most important thing in your life other than God and your wife. Do you have scheduled time with them this week? Do you have a game night? Do you have a family night? Do you have... Listen, family time isn't sitting around watching the TV. That's not the best case scenario for family night. So we have to rethink this thing and kind of look at it and say, God's given me a vision. I've got somewhere I want to go. Then I'm going to begin taking action steps. And I'm going to begin taking steps. But then notice, God broke down creation into days. We see verse 5, and God called the light day, and the darkness He called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. God broke down life into smaller sections. And so we have something called years, and that's broken down into smaller section called days. And that's broken down into smaller section called hours. And that's broken down into smaller pieces called minutes, and that's broken down into smaller pieces called seconds. And so what we need to learn to do from the Lord here is we have a vision, we begin to take action, but then we break the action down into doable parts. We begin to piece it out. So I can get this done, and today I'm going to do this towards that goal. And tomorrow I'm going to do this toward that goal. And the next day I'm going to do this toward that goal. And so now we have a measure of how we're doing consistently moving toward the goal. You get it? So we have the vision. We have action. We've got to start moving. We've got to start doing things. We break these actions down into bite-sized pieces so we can keep moving towards the goal. Now, that's pretty much where the average worldly idea of getting things done in productivity stops. Remember, you and I are Christians. We have an unbelievable advantage. We're working for God. Don't remove God from this idea of productivity and getting things done in our lives. Amen? So we have, and when we study the scripture here, we see verse 1, we see a vision. And we see action. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Verse 2, we see, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. So this is what happens. When you come up with a vision and you have a goal that you start heading towards, it's really nebulous. I mean, it really seems far away. It's not really structured sometimes, and maybe it seems like you just have so far to go to get there. And am I ever going to get there? It can be overwhelming. But don't forget the last part here of verse number 2. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And this is where you and I have an unbelievable advantage over lost people, is we have the Spirit of God. We have the Spirit of God moving within us, helping us to accomplish things and move us toward the godly goals that He's given us in life. This is why it's so vital that you walk in the Spirit. So vital that you yield to the Spirit every day. Listen, you will fail in your own flesh. Amen? I can testify. I fail in my own flesh. One of the great reasons why we fail is because we think human willpower is the end-all be-all. And this is what humanism believes, that human willpower is almost God. It's almost a deity to be worshipped, and it can do anything. Human willpower can do anything. Well, that's what they thought at the Tower of Babel until God came down and slapped him down and said, I don't think so. That's right. And see, what happens is if we are working against God, we will fail. If we're working with God, we will be victorious. Plain and simple. Now, sometimes God will take us the winding road. Don't think that just because something bad happens in your life that, or you have a setback, that does not mean that God's against you. Sometimes God's preparing you for greater things. And so we have to understand this Spirit of God begins to move, and every day we have the opportunity to be filled with the Spirit. We have the opportunity to pray in the Spirit. Watch this. If you and I want to be truly successful, we have to make sure we're engaging that spiritual part of us. So many Christians live like lost people except on Sunday. Christianity ought to change every fiber of our being. It changes the way we think. It changes the way we see the world. It changes what we're trying to accomplish. It changes our priorities. It changes what's important to us. It changes the way we do things. It changes our morality. And it changes my motivations. And it changes what power I am trusting to help me accomplish things. I'm not trusting myself. I'm not trusting my intellect. I'm not trusting my training. I'm trusting God. And the Spirit of God came upon this void that was without form and began to merge and work, and we saw miraculous things happen. So we have, number one, vision. Number two, action. Number three, the Spirit. Number four, we see God's Word. Look at verse number 3. And God said, let there be light. Oh, and watch this. And there was light. See, God's Word works, doesn't it? We believe that here, don't we? We're at church this morning. We believe God's word works. You believe that? Then let's use it. Let's use it. The word of God should be read every day. But more than just being read and honored as something like, listen, people honor Shakespeare, but they don't go around acting out Romeo and Juliet. So many Christians, they honor the word of God, but they fail to live the word of God. We get the benefit of not just reading the word of God and learning it and memorizing it, but we get to act out the word of God, and we find that it unlocks incredible power. Anytime you see God moving and working, you see the Spirit and the Word working together. Think about creation. You see the Spirit and the Word. Think about salvation. You see the Spirit and the Word. Think about sanctification. You see the Spirit and the Word. And so when the Spirit of God mixes with the Word of God, it creates incredible opportunity and incredible power. And so we have a vision. We begin to take action. We break that action down in measurable steps that we can accomplish. We engage that spiritual part of us. We're praying. We're walking in the Spirit. We make sure that we have God's mind on the subject. Then we begin to add the Word of God. Does the Word of God have a say in how this is done? Do we begin to take biblical principles and say this is the best way to accomplish this? Think about gaining wealth. If you're trying to save money for retirement, but you have not done a Bible study on what God says about becoming wealthy or what God says about money, then listen, friend, you can have the best financial advisor the world has to offer, but if you're missing out on the Word of God, then we're missing out on a huge part of what makes us different and what empowers us as Christians. And so the same thing is in every case. Add the Word of God. See what God says about a subject. So we see vision. We see action. Number three, we see the Spirit. Number four, we see the Word. Number five, then we review. Look at verse 3. Look at verse 3. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw the light that it was good. Now watch this. As I'm taking steps and doing actions each week or each day, I need to have times where I stop and review what I've done. Is what I'm doing working? Did I follow the Lord today? Let me give you a couple times when you should have a review. I think before you go to bed each night, you should take at least 5 minutes and look at the day. How'd I do today? Did I walk with the Lord? Did I lose my temper? Did I love my wife? How'd I do with the kids? Just take a couple minutes and say, look, how did I do today? That's what God did. He saw the light and it was good. You read down further, verse 10. He saw, oh yeah, that's good. At the end of creation, he stepped back and said, now that's very good. He was constantly measuring his progress. He was doing a review. And so I think every night you do just a quick review of how today went, and then you make adjustments for in the morning. So, for example, let's say tonight you go to bed and you say, boy, I blew it. I didn't get up and read my Bible yesterday or this morning. I stayed up too late. I just kind of blew it. I was glad to make it to church, but I can fix that tomorrow. So then tomorrow you fix it. You know what? Today I lost my temper with my wife and kids, and I can't believe I did that, but I'm gonna make sure I do well tomorrow. So you make a note, you make adjustment, and tomorrow you do better. See, what happens is when we don't have times where we review, we get stuck where we lose day after day after day after day after day. And days turn into weeks, and weeks turn into months, and months turn into years, and years turn into a lifetime. And people at the end of their lives say, what in the world happened? People at the end of years say, what happened? Well, what happened was, we didn't have any pauses where we stopped and thought about how we were doing and made adjustments. So number one, take 5 minutes a night, make a nightly review of how your day went, make any adjustments. If you did something well, make a note of that and do it again tomorrow. If you did something bad, make a note of it and don't do it again tomorrow. See how simple this is? Then you take a time. My time is Monday afternoon. Your time, perhaps a good time, would be Sunday afternoon, depending on your schedule. You just take a moment and you look at your week. So how did I do last week? What do I have coming up this week? What's my schedule look like? Do I have anything different or new? Do I have any danger points? I know I'm not going to get as much sleep on Wednesday, so Thursday I've got to make sure that I'm not grumpy with my wife. You know, just these types of things. Or, you know, I've got an extra thing due on Tuesday. If I don't get this done by end of job Tuesday, then the boss is going to be upset at me, so I'm going to rearrange some things and make sure I get this done. So you just kind of take in a long view. And then I think that every quarter you should stop and take really a couple hours and pray about the upcoming quarter and seeing what's different, what's new, what changes and challenges come, and make adjustments ahead of time. You know what it's like to drive. How many of you have ever had somebody stop in front of you or had some animal run out in front of you and you had to react that fast? Just boom! Nobody wants to live that way. How many of us have ever had a car stop in front of us, but with their head, and we've got plenty of time? Or a deer runs out, and we've got plenty of time. It's not as stressful. It's easier to make an adjustment. And so we make daily adjustments to make sure we don't lose too much time, but we also take the long look to make sure that we're not living emergency to emergency or problem to problem. And so then we see the review, and then lastly, we repeat. That's what God did. God had a vision. God took action. He engaged the Spirit. He used the Word. He reviewed it day one. And then what? Then there's day two. And he did it again. And then there's day three. And he did it again. Then there's day four. And he did it again. Then there's day five. And consistency is so important in the Christian life. And let's learn to string together some good days. Consistently doing and redoing what we know works. And so this is just a little outline that God gave me, and I'm going to use it in my personal life this coming year, and I hope that it'll be a blessing to you as well. Father, I pray that you'd bless us as we go forward. Help us to get a lot of good things done. Lord, help us to get the right things done. Help us to be productive in life and make a difference. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.